Daryl preaches all the time, and I get to preach every now and then. Sermons are good. We need those. But this way you get to hear both sides of a question from people who actually believe that. Instead of me just getting up here and saying, this is what people believe, and here's how to respond to it. Daryl's going to be here to tell you what he believes is a good way of doing it. If somebody didn't think a debate was scriptural, before, this is just hold on. I want you to look at Acts 19, 8 and 9. And the New Testament has something like this in there a number of times. This is not an isolated passage. Acts 19:8-9, he went into the synagogue, referring to Paul, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing. That's the King James word for a public, organized debate. Persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, and when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10 said he did for 2 years. People say, Pat, you do a lot of debates. Nothing compared to what Paul did. He was doing it daily for 2 years, and that was his whole career. But we appreciate you coming. It'll take a while, so we appreciate so much being patient with us. We're going to present both sides. And we're friends, Daryl and I. And just because you see us pressing our points, and believe me, brethren, he presses his points. Daryl does, and he's pretty aggressive. But he doesn't. I can tell from our outside the debate, he doesn't hold. He's not mad at me or anything like that. That's just his personality. So just get used to it, because that's the way it's going to be. You can start my time, James.
All right, go.
Now, I don't have my proposition before me, but it reads something like this. The Bible teaches that infants are born completely innocent of any and all sin. Now, Daryl believes in what is sometimes called original sin. And he doesn't, I can tell from talking to him on the phone, he doesn't take it the same as far as a Calvinist might do. And he can explain more when he gets up here. But I believe, but it'll be up to me to show you that it's unscriptural, I believe the Catholics invented this doctrine of original sin, which basically states that when an infant is born, he inherits the guilt of the sin of Adam when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I believe that many of the Calvinists especially, and Daryl will tell us what he believes, lay the blame upon when we sin, upon what Adam did, and that's why I have such a problem with this, is that when we sin, I want you to know that we're choosing to sin and we're responsible for it. We can't blame it on Adam. I don't believe the Bible teaches original sin at all. I believe an infant is born completely innocent of any and all sin. Now notice Ezekiel 18:20. I believe it proves my proposition. It only takes one verse out of God's Word, since it's right in every particular, without error. It only takes one verse to prove my proposition. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity or the sin of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. I believe this verse answers the question of this debate, which is, does the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? And here's God's answer. I'm just repeating myself. When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, verse 19, he shall live. Verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm not going to die because of Adam's sin. That's what the Calvinist believes. Verse 20, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. So I believe that shows that Daryl is wrong in this debate. Verse 20, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So my dad's name was Kenneth Donahue. This verse teaches that I didn't inherit any sin from my dad, Kenneth. And Seth didn't inherit any sin from Adam. And if Seth didn't inherit any sin from Adam, then Seth's son should have inherited any sin from him. I'm talking about original sin. God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Daryl, my friend, says just the opposite. Next, I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. That verse says, God hath made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Don't be confused about this word inventions. It's not talking about inventing the light bulb. The New King James talks about sinful schemes. That's what this is talking about. It's saying that God created us upright, but we're not upright anymore because we have sinful schemes. We sin. Now, what does this word upright mean? According to dictionary.com, if you know what that is, if you know what the internet is, it means upright means righteous, honest, or good. So that's how God made us. Psalm 28:5-8 says, good and upright is the Lord. So when we see upright, we're talking about how God is. In Micah 7:2, there is none upright among men, so the opposite of upright is sinful. The Bible says that God made man upright. That is the very opposite of Daryl's position, that man is born with inherited sin. You might say, well, this is just talking about Adam. God made Adam upright. No. It says God made man upright, and I'll show you how I know that's talking about mankind and not just Adam, because it says, but they has sought out many inventions. Not he, it's plural. And it's not just the one sin of Adam when he ate of the tree, it's many inventions. Not just one sin and one man. It's like Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, when it uses the word man, God created man in the image of him, he's talking about mankind. All of mankind is created upright. The reason Pat Donahue became not upright is when I sinned. I was created perfectly sinless, perfectly innocent when I was born, and then when I reached the age of accountability and sinned, I was not upright anymore. Now I needed God's forgiveness. Ecclesiastes 7:29b implies that if a man didn't seek out sinful schemes, he would be still upright. And again, that contradicts Daryl's position. Now I want you to notice Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, when Daryl comes up there, of course, he being in the negative, his responsibility is to reply to these verses that I bring up, and he's supposed to show you how they don't prove my position, as I'm claiming. Now I want him to tell us how to explain Ezekiel 28, verse 15 with his position. My title for this chart is The King of Tyre was created perfect till iniquity was found in him. Here's the verse. Talking about the King of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. See how that's like Ecclesiastes 7:29? He was perfect until he sinned. Now the context gives the King of Tyre down the road, blaming his character upon his own sinful actions instead of on God, and certainly not on Adam. This verse sure doesn't sound like the King of Tyre was born with original sin or total depravity. And Daryl can comment about whether or not he believes in total depravity. That's usually coupled with original sin, but I don't know if he takes that position also. Tyre, the King of Tyre, was perfect until he sinned, just like Adam was perfect till he sinned, just like an infant is perfect until they sin. Next, I would like you to go to chart number 11, if you're keeping up with this. I would like you to look at Hebrews 4:15, for example. This is a consequence of Daryl's sin. Daryl's position. The consequences of the inherited sin, depravity theory, would be that Jesus inherited sin or depravity. Because remember, he was a man. He became a man. He was God, and he never left. He never quit being God, but he became a man. But contrary to that, Hebrews 4:15, which Harold certainly agrees with this, Jesus was without sin. If we inherit Adam's sin when we're born, then Jesus would inherit his sin. Because remember, Jesus was born of an earthly mother. Mary would have inherited original sin from her parents. So she would have had it. Now, the Catholics invented the Immaculate Conception to take care of that, but I'm sure Daryl doesn't believe that Catholic invention. Mary would have had original sin. She would have passed it down to Jesus if this inherited sin is true. And if Jesus had sin, that means he couldn't have died for us. Because he had to qualify himself by living without sin so he could die for us. If he had sinned, he would have had to die for himself. But because he lived perfectly and had no sin, he could die for us sinners. Boy, aren't we thankful for that. Now, Jesus, you say Jesus was different. Not in this sense. Jesus was a man just like we are. Yeah, he was God, but he was fully a man just like we are. Notice that Jesus had the same flesh and blood as us. Hebrews 2:14 said, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. So he had the same flesh and blood as us. Notice Hebrews 2:17, he was made like unto us. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That's us. When he became a man like us. And Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted just like us. Believe it or not, you know the temptations that we go through? We have a lot of temptations, especially in our world, don't we? And as Christians, we have to fight those temptations, overcome them, and don't succumb to them. Jesus was tempted just like we are. Now, God can't be tempted. So before Jesus came to this earth, he couldn't be tempted. But when he became a man, he was susceptible to sin. He could have sinned. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But we know he was without sin. That proves he did not inherit any sin. And since he was made just like we are, he was born of earthly mother, then that proves we don't inherit sin. Again, the argument is, if we inherit the sin of Adam, then Jesus did. But the Bible says he was without sin. He couldn't have died for us if he had any sin. If he had original sin, he couldn't have died for us. That proves that we're also born without sin because we're made just like Jesus. And then I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5. That verse says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Now, when I say the word corrupted, that implies that they were clean beforehand, right? They corrupted themselves. That means before they did something to corrupt themselves, they weren't corrupt before that. Adam didn't corrupt them. It says they corrupted themselves. And this corruption occurred in their life, not before their birth, as my friend Daryl teaches. And Genesis 6:12 says about the same thing. God looked upon the earth and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Men were corrupt. Men are corrupt today. Why are they corrupt? Because they're born that way? As Daryl says, no. But it says because they corrupt their own way. They sin. That's why we're corrupt. Daryl thinks Adam's sin corrupts people at their birth. But these passages prove my position that people corrupt themselves after their birth. Whose sin? No, excuse me. This chart is entitled Born Astray or Gone Astray. Daryl's position is that we're born astray. He may not normally use that terminology, but that's his position. Because he believes that an infant is born with inherited sin. That means he is already separated, already astray from God. But Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, if I go from Meridian to Alabama, if I go to Alabama, that means I wasn't in Alabama to start with. You see what I'm saying? So if they have gone astray, that means they weren't astray to begin with when they were born. But when they sinned, they went astray. Romans 3:12, they have all gone out of the way. That means they weren't out of the way to start with, or it couldn't say they were gone out of the way. Their position is that they were born astray. They were born out of the way with original sin. 2 Peter 2:15, they have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Now, gone astray means we didn't start out astray, right? And that the fault for our being astray from God lies squarely on our shoulders. We can't blame it on Adam. And that's why I think this debate is important. We don't need to be blaming our sin on somebody else. Now, Jeremiah 19, verse 4 calls children innocents. You'll remember the context, or if you don't, I'll remind you. These people were burning their children, their sons, as burnt offerings unto Baal. Idolatry. False God. These little children. And here's what the Bible says about them. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burnt infant it unto under gods and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. When we talk about abortion and condemn that, we say, people are shedding innocent blood. And that's what this verse is saying. When they were burning, offering up their little bitty babies as burnt offerings to their false God, it says they were filling this place with innocence. Now compare to Jesus being called innocent in Matthew 27 verse 4. What did that mean? Did that mean he had original sin? No. This contradicts my friend Daryl's position that children are not really innocent because they are born with original sin. Next, I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 and notice some details of that passage. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that, he hath done whether it be good or bad. There's three key words here. First, done. We're going to be judged according to things done in our body. Not something we inherit, something that we do. You see the difference? Then it says done in his body. This is something done in our body, not Adam's body. It doesn't have anything to do with Adam. And then it's in our body. That means during our lifetime. Not something that happened 6 or 8 or 10,000 years before we ever lived when Adam committed that sin. Not something that's in the future either. Something done in our body means something that we do, not that we inherit, done in our body, not Adam's, and done in our body in the sense that it's during our lifetime. That's what we're going to be judged upon, not based upon original sin, as Daryl believes. Now let's look at the definition of sin. Mr. Vines, a Bible dictionary defining the Greek words, defines sin as a missing of the mark, a sinful deed, an act of sin. Mr. Thayer, another Bible dictionary, he defines it to miss the mark, to do or go wrong, violate God's law, evil deed, a bad action, that which is done wrong. You see, those definitions preclude, by definition, this idea of inheriting sin. By definition, sin is something you do, according to the definition of the word sin. Now, here's God's definition for sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. A transgression is something you do, not something you inherit. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17. You see how sin is something you do, not something you inherit? Sin is not a trait like blonde hair that you inherit. Sin is like riding a bicycle or washing your hands, something you do. You don't inherit riding a bicycle. You learn how to do that. You don't inherit washing your hands. That's something you do. Having blonde hair, having brown hair, having black hair, that's something you inherit. Something you can't control. Sin is something you do during your life. You can control it. It's not a trait that you inherit. God's definition of sin, transgression of the law, rules out this idea of inheriting sin. It's a transgression. That's something that's when you transgress God's law, you do it. An infant has never transgressed God's law. Now, this chart continues this thought, but instead of definitions, it uses verses. Sin is something you do, like riding a bike or washing your hands. Not something you inherit, like blonde hair. Proof, Matthew 13:41. And them which do iniquity, John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil, Romans 2:9. Upon every soul that doeth evil, follow my chart. But he that doeth wrong, 3 John. But he that doeth evil, 1 Peter 3:12. The Lord is against him that do evil. Who did no sin, who rejoiced to do evil. But if thou do that which is evil. And likewise, righteousness is something you do. 1 John 3:7. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Not one passage teaches the guilt of sin can be transferred from one person to another, because sin is not something you inherit like blonde hair. It's something you do, like washing your hands or riding a bike. And then thus notice that we're going to be judged according to our works. We're not going to be judged according to some sin that we supposedly inherited from Adam. Revelation 22:12 says, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's how we're going to be judged, James. According to our works. Not according to what Adam did. He's going to be judged based upon what he did in the garden. We're going to be judged by what we do in this garden, our life. Revelation 20:13, and they were judged every man according to their works. That's how we're going to be judged. Matthew 16:27, then he shall reward every man according to his works. 2 Timothy 4:14, the Lord will reward him according to his works. 1 Peter 1:7, the Father, who without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work. You see that? We're, none of us are ever going to be judged based upon what Adam did. We don't inherit his sin. We're going to be judged based upon what we did. That's why we don't have an excuse for when we sin. We can't say we were born totally depraved or with original sin and we couldn't help it. No, we can help it. God commands us not to sin. We all do sin, but God commands us not to because we can help it. Whenever we sin, it's our fault. We chose to sin. We shouldn't do that. Don't blame it on Adam. Notice we're going to be judged according to our works. That's something we do, not something we inherit. And it's our works. Oh, you are. Not Adam's work. We're not going to be judged based on that, as my opponent believes. Now, whose sins separate us from God? That's an important question. Whose sin separated me from God that first time? And if I get separated from God again, whose sin will do it? It'll be my sin. Not Adam's sin. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Whose sins did it? Whose sins separated the Israelites from God? Their sins, not Adam's sins. Do you see that? John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Not the Calvinist position that you'll die in Adam's sins, you're going to die in your own sins. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Whose sins will we need to be forgiven for? Why do the Catholics baptize infants? Because they want the infant's original sin to be washed away. That's one false doctrine leading to another. Original sin doctrine, which is false, leading to a false doctrine of infant baptism. No, the only thing sins that need to be washed away are our sins. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. We don't need Adam's sins blotted out. Adam needs his own sins blotted out. Eve needs her sins blotted out. My dad needs his own sins blotted out. I need my sins blotted out. I don't remember. We'll go back to it in just a moment. But remember, Ezekiel 18:20, I don't inherit or bear the iniquity of my father. So these verses prove our own sins cause our spiritual separation from God, that our own sins are the only ones that need forgiving. The Bible never teaches somebody else's sins will cause our spiritual death, or that we need to be forgiven of somebody else's sin. Whose sins will we be held responsible for? Adam's. Excuse me, let me say it again. Whose sins will we be held responsible for? Adam's? Not a chance. 2 minutes. Now I want you to go back and look at Ezekiel 2:18-20. Look at it and see if it doesn't prove my position. All of these charts had many verses proving my position, but this is very, very clear. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. And this is talking about spiritual death here because it's talking about the result of sin. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. I will not bear the iniquity of my Father. Seth didn't bear the iniquity of Adam. None of us bear the iniquity of any ancestor that we have. Now, sometimes we may have to face physical consequences for it. David's son died because of David's adultery with Bathsheba. Physical consequences, but David's son wasn't lost because of it. He didn't suffer any spiritual consequences. Some drunk driver could hit my car and kill my little precious little 10-year-old with Downs back there, Wesley. And he would suffer for their sin, the sin of drunkenness, and I would suffer, and my wife would, for losing a little child. That's a physical consequence. That happens all the time. We have crack babies born. Physical consequences. But those crack babies aren't lost because their parents are on drugs. Lost spiritually. Has nothing to do with their spiritual welfare. God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Remember, how much time left, James?
About a minute.
45 seconds, really. Ecclesiastes 7:29. God hath made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. Now, this is not just about Adam. Remember, it's, but they have sought out many inventions. If you look at verse 20, verse 28, it's talking about many are all sinners. He can't find anybody but sinners, is the point here in Ecclesiastes. It's talking about men in general. That's right, we all sin. But God says He made us upright. Now, why are we not upright? Because we seek out sinful schemes, as the New King James says. It's our own fault. Our sin is what changes us from upright to not being upright. It's not original sin. We don't inherit any original sin because God said He made us upright. I believe it, and I would encourage Daryl to believe what the Bible says, and you also. Thank you very much for your time.